Hi, my name is Ryan Recker. Welcome to the Business of Family Business. It's a weekly show here on Campbell X that looks at family businesses all across the St. Louis region, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. And joining us today is Chuck and Keith Petker, part of Petker Construction, based out of Breeze, Illinois. We're also joined by Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. We're going to look at their business, how it's expanded, the transition they're going through now, and some of the key monumental decisions they've made to grow where they are today. And don't forget, if you're a family business and you would like to be highlighted on this show, reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. Let's first talk about the company and how it got started. I think it was 1980. Is that when you first started, Chuck?
That's correct, yes. So I started my career, followed my oldest brother, actually, in the industry. You know, when I got home from, got out of the Army in March of 72, and I'm thinking, okay, now, Chuck, now what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And I saw that he was really enjoying his work and working as a carpenter. And so I thought, well, you know, let's try that. And so I got a job as a carpenter, went to school, carpentered through an apprenticeship program, and went to college. And I, you know, really got caught up in the industry, wanting to advance more, came to St. Louis and was running work for another contractor, but I had thought about opening my own business prior to that. But in the late 70s, I came to St. Louis and was running work for another contractor and putting in 12-hour days and driving a lot, and thought, you know, why don't I just do this for my on my own? And a friend of mine came to me and asked me if I could build him a house. And at the time, I told him, Jim, you know, I gave him all kinds of pointers, and I said, Jim, you know, I don't have time to build you a house. I'm working, you know, 5 days a week and had rental property and going to school at night. And, you know, I really don't have time. And then decided to open my own business. And I called him up and I said, is that opportunity still available? And he says, yes, it is. So that project became our first project. And you can't build a house by yourself. So I had to hire a couple of people. Well, one of those first people was Tom Albers. And today he's our VP of construction. 37 plus years later, Tom is still very integrated part of the business.
Yeah.
So that's when and how we got started.
You're headquartered in Illinois.
We are.
Yeah, but you service a lot of different areas, many states.
We do. Today, I think we're licensed in 24. And Keith just told me on the way over that we're getting licensed in Florida. So that'll complete getting licensed in all of the Southeast states. And so, yes, we're fairly regional contractor, and we do that to serve repeat customers. When you start working for repeat customers, they invest a lot in training you how to serve them. They want an organization that can travel with them. And so we serve a lot of customers like that. And so we got to go where they want us to go.
So does that mean you franchise out to these different states, or are you all based in Illinois and then you do the work from here and you travel?
We travel.
Wow.
We travel. As of today, we do not have any branch offices, although that's on our horizon, on our radar. We've talked about that in strategic planning, for example, and we haven't decided where we want to locate a branch office next, but it'll likely be within the next 5 years.
Yeah. On your website, when you go to Petker Construction Company's website, Certified Veteran Business, which is you get a stamp of approval for that. So kind of talk about why you decided to make yourself a certified veteran business.
We work for a company called, by the name of Continental Tire Company, and Continental does business with all of the major automobile manufacturers, and those automobile manufacturers have targets or goals that they try to reach for spending money with veteran-owned businesses, among other programs, MBEs and WBEs and so on. When they realized that I was a veteran, they asked me to get certified with the National Veteran Business Development Council, which I went through that process, I think, in 2015, got certified. And as a result of that, we're interviewing with some of the major automobile manufacturers and other suppliers to them so that they can count towards their goals spending money with veteran-owned businesses.
So what does that mean? So it's veteran-owned, so what kind of benefits do you get for getting that sort of certification?
Basically, these companies are looking for qualified vendors. In other words, not just contractors, but suppliers, manufacturers, et cetera. But they want to be qualified, and they physically come out and vet the business. They want to assure that it's not just a letterhead, and that there's truly a business behind it. Keith, you were going to say something?
That relationship carried forward with Ameren, too.
Yes, that's correct.
So Ameren, we're now working with Ameren. Ameren's using that, same certification for their
goals,
you know, for veteran-owned businesses.
Yeah. So Chuck, Keith's your son.
That's correct.
And you're going through a transition through the company.
Yes.
And your son's going to be taking over the company as leading the company.
He already is.
Already is. Let's talk about that relationship, and we'll talk about the transition during the course of this interview, too. But I want to talk to you, Keith, a little bit. Kind of tell me what kind of things you do across all the different states here.
We're pretty well diverse. About 25 to 30% of our backlog is Department of Defense, federal government stuff. We've got a large project at the Jefferson Barracks going on right now for the Department of Veterans Affairs. About 20% of our work is, like you said, retail-driven work, whether it's a Menards or a Walmart or a Target. And then we've got a lot of healthcare work, institutional work, and industrial work. The industrial work is more on the automotive side. You know, we're very relationship-driven people and press our employees to be relationship-minded, to put a different set of lenses on when they're interacting with clients and look at things in a perspective of the client's eyes versus the company's eyes.
Even the old Camo X building, which has been vacant for a while after the radio station moved here to Olive Street, trying to do renovations to areas in downtown, you do things like that too.
Yes. We certainly do. We're in a lot of different cities. You know, like Dad said, we're licensed in 24 states. So that's put us in all kinds of metropolitan cities, and along with understanding how to get things done,
right?
Whether it's St. Louis or Chicago or Atlanta.
Chuck, as an owner of Petker Construction, has four children, all of them involved in the business in different leadership roles. I'll talk to him about that and how he decided the unique skill sets needed for each of those roles. That's coming up next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. And if you're a family business, you probably already know this, but two-thirds of family businesses won't make the generational transition, meaning when it's time for the owner to retire, either they decide to sell or the business just ends. That's scary because a lot of family businesses, they make up a large footprint in St. Louis. Imagine what it would be like if there were no family businesses. So what happens when it's time to pass down the business if you're looking to transition to the next generation? First, I would encourage you to contact CMA Consulting to help them guide you. They're there to help you. Part of what they do is make a plan, and they make sure you hit the milestones to follow through on that transition. And depending on who's the next in line for leadership, you may be looking outside the company, or you may be looking from within. How do you assess those candidates? That's something they can help with, too. Make sure you have the right people in the right place. Reach out to CMA Consulting. They'll guide you through this process. CMAconsult.com is the website. You probably have a lot of questions. Dan Bean would be happy to answer them for you. CMAconsult.com. We continue with our interview from Petker Construction. It's The Business of Family Business on KMOX.
Making America great since 1925. KMOX.
We continue our interview with Chuck and Keith Petker, part of Petker Construction, on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. And if you would like your family business story told on this program, it's easy. Just reach out to Dan Bean. He's at CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Just drop him an email, say, hey, I'd be interested in coming on the show. Chuck, how many kids do you have?
I have four.
Right, and they're all involved in the business.
All four are involved in critical capacities. Oldest son is a director of sales for us. And then Keith is now president. His younger brother, Ryan, is vice president of project management. And my daughter, Kimberly, is vice president of finance.
How does everyone get along?
Very well. We go to lunch together a lot, like, you know, several times a week if everyone's available. Although likely Kevin misses lunch with us the most often because he's out on sales calls. But otherwise, you know, we have lunch business meetings daily, often during the week.
How important is that? Do you find four for keeping some sort of civility in the family and trying to keep the family bond close too.
I think it's critical that's part of our success, and that if we didn't do that, it would spill over into the relationship, the attitudes, the psychology, of the culture of the rest of the organization. So that adhesive is critical to our success and continuing to nurture and cultivate our culture.
Dan Bean from CMA, let me ask you about this, because trying to find the right balance between family in business, it's not always an easy thing to achieve.
It's not always easy, but one of the things that helps families focus on the business and do a good job there is to have good relationships among the family, because you don't worry about, did I say something the wrong way, or do I have to protect myself when dealing with a sibling or a cousin or an uncle? And if every family that was in business got along as well as the Petker family, our family business revenues would go down, I think. Because I've seen them, and they get along amazingly well. I think that's the core of it. That's the beginning of it. It's not the end of the relationships. Those relationships extend to employees and to outside advisors. Mm-hmm. We facilitated a strategic planning process with the company, the Petker legal counsel, financial counsel, their bonding representative. All three of those people were intimately involved throughout, and that's pretty unusual for a client to bring those advisors into the inner sanctum where we're making key decisions about the future to the extent that they did. Mm-hmm. And it just speaks well to the quality of relationship between the organization and their outside advisors.
Yeah.
I do want to add a little bit and piggyback a little bit off of Dan's comment. Mm-hmm. We would not be where we are today without our business partners, our strategic business partners. Dad's worked with Scheffel Boyle, our accounting firm, since
1981. They did our first reviewed financial statement.
Yeah.
And so at that time, it was their predecessor name. The relationship has carried on there for 37 years now. Mm-hmm.
USI Midwest, who oversees our bonding and insurance underwriting, they've supported us along with Liberty Mutual and Travelers, has supported our growth and really been behind us in some of our strategic endeavors. And then also Carrollton Bank on the financial side, and Thompson Coburn on the legal representation side. And obviously we're here today with Dan Bean with CMA, who we engage in both succession planning and strategic planning. So
one of the things you're talking about before we started recording here, Chuck, was your time in the service and how that may influence you and how you may be doing things here today. Do you want to talk about your experience with Vietnam?
Sure. I had told this story a number of times in, you know, employee meetings, and my children have heard it numerous times. In June 9th of 1971, on June the 8th, we had met our new company commander for the first time on top of a mountain. Came down the side of the mountain, spent all day coming down the mountain. And at the end of the day, we found an NVA field hospital. So we threw grenades in, and there were no secondary explosions, so no booby traps set up. And the next morning, our lieutenant ordered a reconnaissance patrol out, and the reconnaissance patrol radioed back that they had found another hooch about a mile laterally on the mountain. Lieutenant Dalton and a group of us went out to that site. And I carried an M60, which is a machine gun, and so we got to the second hooch, and I set my M60 up. We had orders to collect any medication and so on and send it back to the rear, I guess, for analysis. And so I had set my M60 up maybe like 10 yards or so from the door to this hooch, and I was taking a tray of pills and things from a friend of mine down in the cellar of this hooch. And all of a sudden there was a tremendous explosion. And I remember throwing my hands back, and that tray just flew back, and I ran back to my M60 thinking that we were under attack. And I got ready to fire. And then I heard groans and moans and so on, and come to realize that one of the guys had walked out of the hooch on the opposite side, stepped on a landmine.
Mm.
Fast forward, we spent the day, that's, you know, without going into too much of the gore. We lost three guys that day, including Lieutenant Dalton. And at the end of the day, we got pulled out of there by helicopter, and we're on top of another mountain. I don't know if, you know, what time of the day this was, but it was nightfall. And I remember sitting on an ammo box, and my hands were shaking and my feet were shaking. And I prayed, God, get me out of here. And whatever it is in life you want me to do, I'll do for you. So I've told that story, and I believe that there is my bearing. You know, that's whatever it is that we do in God's name.
The lessons that you've learned from here on out, do you always guide yourself by that? You say, be in the Lord's will, whatever I may be doing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's great advice. I mean, that's probably the best advice you can give.
Right.
Assessing the role of family members inside the company. The decision-making process for Petker Construction coming up next. We'll learn about that on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. And if you would like your family business story told, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, their website, cmaconsult.com.
Welcome to St. Louis. Welcome to KMOX.
And welcome back to the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can listen back to any of these shows by going to KMOX.com. In the podcast section, just go to the Business of Family Business and check out some of the other interviews we've conducted with local family businesses all across the St. Louis region. You have four children, and you had to at some point probably have decided who's going to be going to what roles and who's going to be the successor of the company, and ultimately you identify Keith as who's going to be taking over the company as part of the succession plan. Talk about that process and how you decided on, you know, who goes to what role, and how you decided on Keith as the lead in that point.
Each of my children, like everybody, has their special skills, mm-hmm. where they, you know, they're you cultivate anything that you can, you learn what you can, but everybody has special skills. And so oldest son, Kevin played a lot of sports. Has learned how to, you know, interact with people. He can strike a conversation and make friends, you know, just like that. Mm-hmm. And he's always been had a gift of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin would not want Keith's job,
mm-hmm.
As you know, the responsibility that comes along with being president. Keith and Ryan both went to SIU Edwardsville in their construction management program.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly went to SIUE also, but the School of Business. Keith and Ryan learned the construction business. Well, they all four of my children grew up in the business. They were working in the warehouse in their early elementary school days, and Kimberly balancing, reconciling checking accounts when she was in elementary school. And I remember, actually, I identify Keith had the skills of all four children, the skill set best suited to take my place as president.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, and I communicated that with all of them, and his siblings all respect that. They appreciate that each of them have special talents, and each of them know each other's special talents.
Yeah, just to back up a little bit, none of us kids, along with Dad, really envisioned all of us to be coming back to work for the family business.
Really?
No, that was...
So that wasn't part of the plan altogether, you guys?
Not necessarily,
okay.
No, it really wasn't. It just kind of fell into that.
For the most part, did some of the siblings come into it at different points of their life? They were doing something else maybe outside of the company for a while, then came in?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin was in sales for a construction supply company, and he came back to the business in, I believe, 2006. And then I came back. I was working for a national construction company on a job site in Colorado Springs, and I came back to work for the family business in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and Kim did grow up in the business and work in the business throughout college.
When it's the family namesake in Petker in that sense, was there any contention with, hey, I think I'm better suited in this role, or did pretty much all of the siblings and everyone agree, like, yeah, I think this is the best? Was there a unanimous decision for that?
I think they they pretty much adapted willingly, yes, to the roles. You know, I was going to tell a story about Kimberly, for example, and I probably in the mid-2000s or early-2000s, I was meeting with our CPA firm, probably around audit time, and Kimberly came in and you know, and at that time was working in accounting for us, and I think if I remember right, one of the CPAs asked her what her plans were, and at that time she was in the School of Business, but she hadn't decided on a major yet, and she decided that she was going to major in business with a minor in finance, and she wanted to be the VP of finance.
You know, along with that, our roles are constantly changing.
So as the industry starts to change, you adapt to that too.
As the company grows and as the industry changes, so do we. And so, for example, right now what we're trying to figure out internally is in 5 years what is Puttker Construction going to look like, and how can we best serve our clients. And so what that means is probably adding some additional management layers so that we can concentrate our efforts both on the leadership side and on the communication side.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, trying to find that the people in leadership are in the correct roles. That's a very important part to the success of a company, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Chuck mentioned this, build to your strengths. And Kimberly kind of fell into her role. Her strengths are unique. Kevin in sales, his strengths are unique. Probably the two that are closest are Keith's and Ryan's. There may be some overlap there, but it sounded like they sorted out their roles, I'm assuming without any consternation or back and forth. So it is quite amazing when the next generation can kind of figure out their role among themselves, and the generation prior kind of blesses the same thing. It all just fits together and falls in place. That does not happen very often, but it does happen occasionally.
To kind of go along with that, I often tell the people I'm not real big on titles. You know, obviously people want to know if they're talking to an executive, but from our perspective internally, we look at it in equal discussion mode. You know, and everybody's opinion is of equal value as we move our strategic goals forward. So
inside the business, titles do matter because they tell you who has what scope of authority, and externally the business, that's very important because it's, as Keith says, it's who I'm dealing with. But inside the family, there are no titles. It's son or daughter or sibling or dad or whatever. And so those titles disappear, and in family, you're all family, so you don't have that hierarchy of titles except for parents and as shareholders. You don't have that hierarchy. They're all just shareholders. You're all equals. You might have different amounts of shares, but you're still all doing the same thing of being a shareholder.
Right. Well, you're doing the generational transition. Is there an ownership transition that goes on alongside of that too?
There is. One of my brothers, second oldest brother, retired from the business in June, and several years ago he decided that he wanted to start selling his stock. And so my children are in the process of buying that stock from him. I think there's maybe 2 years, two out of a 5-year program left to buy his shares out. The other, my oldest brother also owns some stock, and I haven't had a conversation with him as to what his plans are. He has two of his children, his son and daughter, and one daughter work in the business with us. And then the other outside stockholder is Tom Albers, who we mentioned earlier, and then another long-term employee, Mark Raykemper. We haven't had any conversation with them about their plans for their stock, if they, you know, ever want to sell it.
Yeah. Were they involved when it came to deciding these roles in the company, especially with Keith?
Yes, involved, you know, I know that I've had discussions with them and a lot of people about roles, and I know that Tom and Mark both supported that decision.
We continue one last time with Petker Construction. This is the Business of Family Business presented by CMA, highlighting the family business stories from all across the St. Louis region. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I know that there's really no crystal ball when it comes to making the right moves in business. It's your decisions. You talk to your board of directors, you talk to your family members, and then you have your gut feeling. But how do you know you're making the most informed decision? Do you have clarity in your future and direction? You have a way to develop individuals, maybe from inside or outside of your company? And how do you make the right selection so the right people are in the right leadership roles? These are all things that CMA Consulting can help you with. You've heard from Dan Bean inside this program. He's someone that wants to help your business as well. And don't feel like you have to do this alone. Just reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, the website cmaconsult.com. You can learn more there. Let the experienced people there guide you towards your goal, whether it's a transition or maybe it's just trying to find the right people to partner with and the right talent in the right spot. They're knowledgeable, they're friendly, and they get results. Dan Bean, cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. This week, we're joined by Chuck and Keith Petker, part of Petker Construction. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. If you would like your family business story told, it's very easy. Just reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com and let him know you're interested in joining us here on the program. Is there anything that happened in the lifespan of the company that was maybe you had a difficult decision or something, there was a hardship that came across? What did you guys do to work together to move past that and ultimately grow from that?
Keith mentioned the early 2000s. We had an entirely different management team. Obviously, my children weren't in the capacities yet that they could be into that they are today.
And some were still outside the company at that time.
Yes, that's correct. And so the management team that I had was not doing their job as best they should. And I remember, and we were losing money. And I remember meeting with our CPA, myself, without my then VP of finance, and coming up with a drastically cut budget, you know, to streamline the organization, which involved letting the entire accounting staff go. That time, you know, Kimberly was working as a receptionist. And I remember as I was putting this budget together, I noticed that our cell phone usage had not come down as the business had come down, as, you know, as the revenue and number of employees and so on had come down. And I hadn't taken the time to dig into why yet. So in my budget, I just plugged in that cell phone usage and the way it was. And I got back to the office that day. And I casually had that conversation with the group in accounting, and one of the ladies said, "Yes, you know, this was late October of that particular year." And the lady said that was in charge of cell phones, said, "Yeah, I've been wanting to look at that since February, just haven't had the time." Hmm. And Kimberly volunteered to dig into that, and within a week, we were paying for cell phone usage for cell phones that were not in use anymore.
Hmm, okay.
And Kimberly,
of about $20,000 a month.
That much.
It was huge.
Wow.
It was huge. And Kimberly got into that and negotiated terminations to all these lines and cut the expense.
Wow, I didn't realize that could happen with the business that quickly. Yeah. It's amazing. Business expenses for someone that doesn't run a business, they would be shocked to hear a number like that.
Mm-hmm.
That many for cell phone usage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. So
yeah, so we had a lot of mismanagement in the early 2000s, starting from the upper management on down to middle management, to the point where we had lost our bonding capacity. We had lost our line of credit at the bank, and we had roughly somewhere between, depending on what budget you looked at, 3 and 6 months of cash left in about 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the brinks of bankruptcy at that point in time.
What brought you back?
New management team. We cut
That's what did it.
We cut the budget. We cut the dead weight out.
We dug our heels in and got through some insurance auditing we had discovered that we had overpaid insurance to the tune of several hundred thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So we recouped that money back. Mm-hmm. That helped quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it was in the 600 some thousand that we recovered. We were paying, I'd have to get into the details today, but we went back and audited 3 years worth of workers' comp and 1 year of general liability insurance and recovered. We had records to go back 10 years, but the insurance companies wouldn't allow us to go back 10 years. But basically, my then VP of finance wasn't doing his job.
Mm-hmm. For someone that went through it, how easy is it to just overlook some of these things like this? Because that is a huge expense that adds up.
I think that's probably why all of us kids get along so well. What doesn't break you makes you stronger. We all remember that experience, and we want to make sure that we're conveying that we're running a successful ship here, and we want to convey that to the rest of the organization, making sure that we're being frugal, making sure that we're being conservative, being professional in our mindset. We've got a strong backlog. We've got a strong line of credit. We've got a strong bonding capacity, and we're in good, sound financial footing to expand the business, to whether it's through acquisitions and mergers or through opening a new office. But it took some time to dig ourselves out of that hole.
A lot of hard work, too.
Yeah.
So. A lot of hard work. What were some of the lessons you guys learned as a company along the way?
I think to always make sure that you're being truthful with somebody, mm-hmm. whether it's with with one of our employees, with one of our business partners, or with our clients. You know, if you stumble on something, let people know that you stumbled on it, and let them know how you're going to make things right.
And hiring, I think we're much more focused today on hiring people that fit the culture of the organization and have the experience and the expertise. We especially like hiring interns that are in specific college programs that would fit the business.
Yeah. Hiring and retention,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that we're retaining our top talent.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting.
Yeah, one of the things that research shows is promoting from within is a much better way to groom talent and hold on to talent rather than going outside and trying to bring in every time you need someone going outside. So that promoting from within, finding the talent with potential, developing that potential, grooming that potential, and moving them up inside the organization results in a much more engaged, much more satisfied, much more productive workforce and a more stable company.
Mm-hmm. You talked about how right now things are going really well and you've turned things around and the success of the company. Does that mean you're looking to expand or maybe grow?
We are. We're in the planning stages of building a new facility, and there was a city council meeting with the Brees City Council that approved some negotiations with regard to our facility, and so we can finally say that we're going to be building this new facility in Brees, Illinois, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility to be used for attracting and retaining our top talent,
mm-hmm.
as well as to demonstrate to our clients, you know, what we can bring to the table.
So did you just outgrow your current facility and you need more space?
We're in four different buildings.
Is that right?
Three of them are temporary trailers.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
You just need
the
space. You need it.
Yeah, we need the space.
So that would not be the recommended facility structure to have for a company of this size.
I want to thank both Chuck and Keith Petker from Petker Construction joining us on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. And it's family business stories shared here on KMOX. You can go back and listen to them at KMOX.com. I also want to thank Dan Bean from CMA Consulting who joined us in studio today. If you want your family business story told or if you want to follow up, maybe ask some questions to Dan Bean, see what he thinks, go to CMAconsult.com, CMAconsult.com. Have a great week.